An even more influential idea by Solovyov was his idea of God-manhood. One word, God-manhood. For Solovyov, the essence of Christianity, and interestingly enough, he said, of the Eastern religions, which he admired, was, he said, mystical. The heart of Christianity was its mysticism. And the key mystical moment in the emergence of Christianity was the appearance of Christ in the world. In other words, the moment when God was made into a man, God-man. And this unity of God and man was said to be the ultimate unity in the world, the unity that was at the heart of the world. And Solovyov argued, and many followed him in this, it was prophetic. It pointed to where human history was heading, toward the unity of all things, all unity that I've discussed, including spiritual and material things, but also toward what was so important to Solovyov, toward human perfection, toward man, human beings becoming more like God, toward God-manhood. Closely related to this idea, and again, very influential, people, Russians at the time, were very excited to talk about these ideas, was an idea that is even more complicated, but even more popular, the idea of Sophia, this idea of divine wisdom personified as a woman. And Solovyov got this idea of feminine divine wisdom from a variety of sources. He got it from the Old Testament. Proverbs 8 to 9 in particular talk about a wisdom, which in the Greek is Sophia, appears as a female figure and is said to exist before God made the world. He adopted it from Jewish mystical writings, the Kabbalah, which he read and found very suggestive. He drew this idea of Sophia from 17th century European philosophers of religion, and most importantly, from the Russian Orthodox tradition. Many early Russian churches, for example, in the city of Novgorod, but before that in Kiev, were devoted to Sophia, as was, in fact, of course, the main cathedral in Hagia Sophia. The main cathedral of Hagia Sophia in Constantinople was about Sophia. For Solovyov, this idea of Sophia represented more than just wisdom, and indeed to many of his readers. It was the incarnation of this great idea of unity. She was, he wrote, God's word, that is to say, wisdom, made flesh, and pointed to where humanity's going, toward perfection. Now, all of this may seem vague and often difficult to comprehend. What's important to understand is how excited Russians were by these ideas, and especially by their fundamental spirit, that history was about the moving toward greater spiritual perfection and unity in the world, and indeed that the meaning of the world was to be found in deeper and more complex spirituality and mysticism. In the years after 1905, this sort of mystical and spiritual idealism became increasingly pervasive in Russian life, especially among the educated. In fact, so pervasive was it that many contemporaries spoke of a mass movement, especially among the educated, that they called God-seeking, Bogoiskatelstvo in Russian. This movement of God-seeking involved huge numbers of Russians reading and talking about spiritual questions, including, as you know, in the court of Nicholas and Alexandra themselves. Huge numbers of Russians talked about religion, read the works of Solovyov and other philosophers, attended discussions in various public or civic organizations, circles and clubs and organizations, often featured talks about the meaning of life from a spiritual point of view. This was all described as God-seeking. This movement was a desire for a spiritual meaning in the world, but it was also a sign of the crisis of the times that we've seen so much evidence of. This turn to religious, searching for religious meaning, also reflected people's anxieties about the dark sides of modern life, such as we've seen. Their profound dissatisfaction with the nature of the modern world in which at least educated Russians increasingly were living, a world of science, a world of rationalism. How to explain, Russians asked, the suffering around them? How to know that this would all lead to some greater happiness, to redemption? Rationalism and science didn't seem to hold the answers. Religion, spirituality did. And of course, it also reflected a widely expressed discontent with the established church. Seemed to fit into the life of the state, to defend the state, but had forgotten how to inspire the people with religious feeling and meaning. Now, in this movement, this God-seeking movement, one sees a huge variety of trends, some, by the way, influenced by things going on in Western Europe, some of them influencing Western Europe itself.